Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're tackling something familiar, maybe too familiar, fennel seeds. You know, they're often just kind of there in the background underpinning these really comforting aromatic dishes, but I think they're way more versatile than we usually give them credit for.
Oh, absolutely. They're kind of quiet powerhouses.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating when you trace them back.
Exactly. So that's the plan today. We're going on a bit of a journey, you know, from Roman kitchens, maybe, all the way to Indian spice boxes. We want to get under the skin of its real character, that sweet sort of licorice scent, but also that warmth, that refreshing quality it has.
Right. And what's really insightful, I think, is how this one little seed connects so many different cultures and cuisines. It's been doing it for millennia. Its flavor profile is, well, unique. It's bright, it's lightly sweet, a bit herbal, and it does have those anise notes, but they're subtle. Much less intense than, say, star anise or pure licorice.
What's in your face?
Exactly. And that gentleness, that adaptability, that's probably why it became so universal.
Mm.
Understanding that really can elevate your cooking, but also just your appreciation for how ingredients weave through our history.
That's a great way to put it, ingredients weaving through history. So, okay, our mission for this deep dive. Let's pull out the really important stuff, the culinary traditions, those health benefits people talk about, maybe some surprising flavor pairings, and we'll sprinkle in some, you know, fun facts and historical bits along the way. Think of it as your shortcut to being properly well-informed about fennel seeds, getting beyond just, oh, it tastes like licorice.
Well, to really get it, we should probably start way back. Fennel's native to the Mediterranean, right?
Yeah.
And the ancient Greeks and Romans, they really valued it. Its name actually comes from Latin. Fenniculum, it means little hay, which is quite charming, I think.
Little hay. I like that. Okay. And it wasn't just about flavor back then, was it? I read somewhere that Roman soldiers, they didn't just put it in their food and wine. They apparently chewed the seeds to suppress their appetite on long marches.
That's the story, yeah. Reportedly, it helped keep hunger at bay.
So, like, the original energy bar for ancient warriors, I can just picture them marching along, having a little chew. Beats those modern energy gels, maybe.
Ah, maybe it does. It makes you wonder. And, you know, looking beyond just that practical use, there's this thread of wellness that runs through its whole story globally. Think about India, for example. Fennel was embraced there, not just for flavor, but specifically for digestion.
Ah, right. That's why it's still common to chew it after a meal there.
Exactly. Mukwas, often, as a mouth freshener and a digestive aid. And it's fascinating, isn't it? The same basic property helping digestion used so differently. A survival tool for soldiers in Rome and this ritual health practice in India.
That is a brilliant distinction. Okay, so Rome, India.
Right.
Where'd the journey go next? It didn't just stop there, presumably.
Oh, definitely not. It traveled. Those little seeds moved along the ancient spice routes right into Asia. You find it in some regional Chinese five-spice blends, for instance.
Yeah.
And even, perhaps surprisingly, in some traditional Nordic rye breads.
Nordic breads.
Really?
And what's key, again, is that adaptability. It has the anise notes, sure, but it doesn't dominate everything, which means it works just as well in savory dishes as it does in sweet things or baking. Not all strong spices can do that. Plus, it's seen as cooling in traditional medicine, like Ayurveda. So that adds another layer of appeal beyond just taste. And remember, these seeds are actually the dried fruit of the fennel plant.
Right, the fruit.
And to get the best out of them, that bright, lightly sweet herbal character, you really want to toast them lightly or crush them fresh.
Ah, yes, toasting. That definitely wakes them up. That's a good tip. And we often hear it's brilliant with fish and seafood, don't we?
Oh, classic pairing. Absolutely.
Like especially oily fish, mackerel, salmon, or even more delicate white fish. You toast and crush the seeds. Makes a great marinade or a crust,
yeah.
Right? Exactly right. And it doesn't stop there. That balanced flavor.
Mm.
It works beautifully with roasted vegetables like carrots, aubergine, and meats too, like pork or lamb. It just seems to complement so many things. If you think about it pairing well with apple, orange, chili, and honey,
mm-hmm.
Well, that tells you a lot about its range. It's not a one-trick pony at all.
It really is a culinary chameleon, isn't it? Giving dishes that savory depth, but then popping up in sweet things too, like those Italian tarali biscuits
mm-hmm.
or Indian naan sometimes, even shortbread. The right. Reach is just huge. And all fusions and pickles too. You can add it to pickling brines, spice blends for teas, chutneys, even flavoring honey.
You can. It's incredibly versatile in that way. But as you said, its power really does go beyond the plate. into wellness and to healing traditions.
Yeah, tell us more about that side.
Well, we mentioned digestion. It's well known for soothing bloating and indigestion, acting as a gentle carminative. And in Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine, it's often used to reduce internal heat, so it's considered a cooling agent, which contrasts with warming spices like, say, ginger or chili.
Interesting. Cooling.
Yeah. And they're also packed with antioxidants. They've got flavonoids, volatile oils, things that have anti-inflammatory effects. So quite a little nutritional bundle, too.
So it really does deliver on the health front. It's not just old wives' tales. Mm. And some of the historical facts are just wild. Okay, so we had the Roman soldiers chewing it, but it's also one of the main ingredients in absinthe, the green fairy.
It is indeed. One of the holy trinities of absinthe, along with anise and wormwood, shows you its association with really potent aromatic profiles.
Wow. And then back to India, you see those colorful sugar-coated fennel seeds, saumph, after meals.
Right, the mukwas we mentioned. That's a direct line back to its ancient role as a digestive and breath freshener, just beautifully woven into everyday culture. So you see this journey, ancient Greece and Rome, embedding itself in India, traveling the spice routes to Asia, finding a place in Nordic cooking. Fennel seeds really do have this dual nature. They're this incredibly versatile culinary tool, savory, sweet baked goods, and this potent ingredient for health. Digestive aid, cooling agent, mouth freshener. It does it all.
It's actually astounding how much history and use is packed into such a tiny, unassuming thing. From warriors trying not to feel hungry to being an absinthe, part of Chinese five spice. Oh, and didn't people used to hang it up to ward off evil spirits or something? Folklore stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of folklore around it, too. Protection, clarity.
Yeah.
It pops up in all sorts of old beliefs.
It's just incredible. The sheer breadth of it. It's so much more than just a spice.
It really is. And when you think about that deep history, that incredible versatility, it makes you appreciate that quote. The seed of fennel carries with it the soul of a clean sea breeze.
The soul of a clean sea breeze. That's lovely. Makes you think, doesn't it? What does that idea of a soul and an ingredient mean for how we understand flavor or tradition? Maybe something for you to ponder. How might you use this knowledge, maybe in your own cooking, or just notice it more out in the world? We hope this deep dive gets you looking at everyday ingredients with maybe fresher eyes, discovering the stories hiding inside. Until next time, keep exploring.